This is the official EFL podcast.
Hello and welcome to the preview show. Joining me this week, our former Stoke, Derby, Birmingham and Burton manager now turned Sky Sports pundit Gary Rowett, EFL and Quest's Michael Brown and Leighton Orient captain Joby McAnuff. Gary, first of all, welcome to the show. Your preview show debut. Let's start.
It is. Yeah, I'm a bit nervous. I know.
Well, I'm sure you'll do fine. I'm sure you cope well under the pressure. Let's start with a look back at some of the midweek results first, though. West Brom impressed, despite losing their unbeaten record at Leeds, I think it's fair to say. Did this match show that both sides will be contenders this season?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, when I looked at West Brom at the start of the season, I felt as though it might be a sort of season of... you know, maybe challenging that top sort of six, but you know, a little bit of flux with Slaven Bilic going in and obviously not really knowing the championship as much. They've played against a lead side, I think, are the best side in the division. You know, they're so difficult to play against. They are relentless, particularly at this stage of a season when, you know, that sort of fatigue element of the games doesn't really hold a factor. So, but I think they've been really impressive. They've had a very good start to be sat in third now and bringing through some young players. The likes of Nathan Ferguson, I've been really, really impressed with. Dean Garner from West Ham on loan, who looks a really bright, creative player. You know, and the likes of Romain Sawyers, who obviously was a West Brom player, moved on to sort of Brentford and came back. So, and the other thing for me is that they keep coming back from behind. You know, they keep going a goal down. They keep coming back from behind. They won't want to do that too often. But I think it shows, you know, with those young players, they've also got a little bit of resilience.
Moving on now to the game between Swansea and Charlton. You were on Quest last night, Michael. Great result for Swansea returning top of the table. You talk about that away record with Colin last night, of course. They've had some tough games away from home as well. What does that say about this team, do you think?
Well, I think it says they've got that little bit of confidence. They've got that team ethic. We sort of discussed that. All the players are playing in the positions that they like to play in. And it's a new manager. I think what impressed me as well is when they did score, Andre, Ayew went right over to the bench, give the staff and the manager, you know, a big hug type thing. And they looked like it was a team spirit and a team waiting to do things, wanting to do the right things. But as you say, going behind to Charlton in 66 seconds from that Lecco goal, it was great character to come back. You know how difficult it is there. Charlton have done fantastically well. They've won 1-0 Leeds United. They've gone to Bristol City and drew a big QPR. So, you know, they're getting those results in key areas of the championship. So, yeah, it's a real positive start for them.
Yeah, Joby, moving on to now Huddersfield, getting the first win of the season, albeit at Lowly Stoke. We'll get onto them in a moment. Have a big discussion about Nathan Jones, of course. But for the Cowleys, to get that first win, how important a result is that for them?
Oh, massive. I think, you know, for them going in to a new environment, wanting to get their ideas, their way of playing across, you know, there's no better way of instilling that than getting wins and getting results to really get everybody on board. And the longer that goes, you know, there's little doubts can creep in, a little bit of nervousness. So to get it done now, you know, obviously drawing the last game and picking up a win, you know, midweek would be massive for them to move forward and I think really get everybody on board. It's been such a long time since they've won a game. I think the whole place, you know, the training ground, everything around it, there'll be a big bounce factor off the back of that result. And, you know, I'm sure everybody now will be looking at trying to move forward and using it to kick on and drag themselves away from the position they're in at the moment.
Yeah, Gary, we usually look at previewing games in like a chronological order when we're on the show. But after that Huddersfield defeat for Stoke, it makes sense to start by talking about their trip to Swansea as well. Top against bottom. At the time of this recording, Nathan Jones is still in charge at the club and is actually, despite reports and his comments after the match, has been given a bit of a vote of confidence, the dreaded vote of confidence by the Stoke hierarchy. It sounds like, though, he's expecting the sack at some point. How difficult a time is that, effectively knowing your fate?
Yeah, it's a really difficult situation to be in. Well, I say difficult. I mean, obviously, you know, there's lots of difficult you know, situations in any employment to be in up and down the country. I'm sure people won't have that much sympathy, but you know, it's not a nice one when you know that, you know, you could sense from his sort of the last two or three games, you could sense after each game, he's just looked more and more resigned to the fact that it's going to happen. And I just felt after the last game, it just seemed like he knew something. He knew it was his last game. He seemed resigned to it. He's almost apologising for the results. And you know, you feel for him because you kind of sat there waiting. You know, when you know it's going to happen or you almost feel it's going to happen, you know, in the end, either you need the board to come out and say, no, he's our long-term man and we're going to get through this, or to just do it. Because actually, as a manager, you kind of just want that clarity, because, you know, for him to now, on the back of that press conference and the back of the post-match comments, to now go to Swansea, you know, a tough place anyway to go at the best of times, and have to motivate the players and have to try and inspire them again. Even the players, I'm sure, probably are thinking he maybe not going to be in charge. So it's not easy. I don't think it necessarily helps anybody. And I think the quicker that, you know, Stoke get clarity one way or the other, you don't want to see any manager lose their jobs. But to be sort of caught in that sort of state of flux is not healthy for the team. It's not healthy for the club. And I don't think it's healthy for Nathan. So, very, very difficult situation. And you have to feel for him.
Do you think, do you know when you talk like Nathan Jones, is the chairman there, is he like sort of hands-on? Will he speak to you regular about the situation? So will he be in a lot of contact, as you're one of those that it's every couple of weeks, I think?
Well, you got a different scenario there. So, I mean, Peter Coates, obviously, you know, as obviously was the owner, still is the owner, but was the main sort of person. And his son, John Coates, I think bit by bit over the past few years has been more and more integral to that sort of involvement now. So for me, Peter would ring you, you know, most Sundays after a game, day after a game, ask you what you felt, give you his opinion, and just have a chat about it. He'd come down for lunch on a Friday, like a lot of chairmen do. John would be in a bit more often. So you'd probably see either of them maybe two or three times a week. So you would see them. You know, I mean, what tends to happen is, I mean, I'm trying to think back to my time there, but you kind of don't see them for about five or six days. And you start to think that absence is a little sign that something's going to happen. So I don't know what's happened this week, but yeah, I'd imagine that Nathan would be in contact. Yeah. But again, listen, who knows what's happened, Brownie? But I think we're all in the same boat. We've all been in the game long enough to know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it seems to be almost an untenable position now for him, doesn't it?
You look at that, don't you? And you sort of say he looked a little bit broken. I felt sorry for him in his interview. I had to comment on it last night. And nobody wants to be there. I think everyone says, yes, financially he will be rewarded. But we've got to understand the person's dream. He wants to go and manage at the top level. He wants to progress. And that's the thing. And I thought he really looked very, very uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's pressure. It's how it affects you, isn't it? And in the end, it wears you down. You know, if you can't win, there's only so many times you can come out and be positive. Because in the end, you know, you almost need someone to lift you, don't you? Because it is a difficult scenario. So, yeah, I can only imagine what it's like this morning at the training ground. You know, I suppose it's, you know, I wouldn't imagine it's the most positive place there's ever been.
I imagine it's quite hard as well for the players as well, Gary, you know, knowing the fact that your manager he's talking those terms, knowing that he's, you know, he's probably expecting the sack, and you know, he's still there. What will be going through, you know, the player's mind in these situations?
Well, look, I mean, again, you know, the dressing rooms are the dressing room will be a hive of activity. I'm sure we've all been around them. You know, the players will have been talking about it for weeks. You know, the players will have been sensing things. The players will be having their opinion. I think the problem, the reason why I think it's such a difficult situation is because, you know, because there's no real, you know, because there's no real, you know, he's going to get, I don't know, he's going to get four, forget it, whether it's Nathan Jones or not, or Stoke, but let's say the board say he's going to get four more games and we're going to review it then, or, you know, we're going to make a decision. But to be in between, I think almost gives the players an excuse as well. You know, they can almost use that. You know what it's like. They'll be in the dressing room saying, you know, talking negatively about it, you know, what's happening. And like I said, you don't want to be going to Swansea. Of all the places, you know, they're, when they move the ball around at home, you know, they are a very, very difficult side to face. So, but, you know, listen, if it's one more opportunity, then I'm sure Nathan's pride will mean that he'll want to go there and he'll get a result that might just, you know, kickstart something.
I think you just got to look and say, why is it going wrong? The players they've got, Allen, Clucas, Ince, McLean, Butland, Gregory, Powell, Duffy, they, you know, all those players and the experience they've got, they shouldn't be at the bottom of the league. They should, whether it's systems, whether it's something the manager's not agreed, but they still shouldn't be losing all of these games to be at the bottom of the league for the quality that they've got. They'll have seen it all before regarding managers. Some will like him, some will not. That's just the normal way of life. But it's, you know, they've got to look going forward now and do something about it.
Joby, you know, as a player, though, when you see players who aren't maybe putting that full effort in when tracking back, for example, I know it was late in the game for the goal, for Huddersfield's goal. But how does that make you feel as a player, seeing players not really, you know, putting that full commitment into defence?
Yeah, I think the point we're talking about, obviously, Atebo not tracking Bakuna, you know, nearly as well as he should have done. You know, for me, that's just a matter of desire and an attitude to want to burst the lung to get back in that box and defend. You know, and it's come down to that. You know, one result, possibly a manager's fate, you know, another defeat, come down to that just lack of, again, desire. And no matter, you know, what's happening, particularly when you're in a bad run and you're trying to get out of it, it's those little details to me that can just help, you know, in those difficult times, whether it be someone making a big tackle at a pivotal time in the game. You know, people are going to make mistakes, genuine mistakes, whether it's a striker missing an opportunity or, you know, maybe a defender switching off. But for me, again, that real desire and commitment should be there regardless of, you know, what's happening with your manager, you know, where you are in the league, you know, whether you're at the top, whether you're at the bottom. And at the moment, they just don't seem to have that at critical times in the game. That's obviously costing them results at the moment.
Gary, looking at Swansea again now, though, a club also relegated from the Premier League 2 seasons ago, like Stoke. Do you look at their approach and think that's what you and Nathan could have done with?
No, I don't think so. I think, I mean, in Stoke's case, you know, the board were pretty adamant. Listen, we want to bounce back up next year, and we want to try and invest money to do it. I think the critical problem with Stoke is, and without going back into Stoke, is that, you know, is getting the players out. So you've ended up with, you know, you've probably ended up now with like 30 players, of which, you know, of course, 11 think you're a decent guy because you've picked them. You know, 7 are not overly applicable on the bench. And you've got another 12 who are absolutely disgusted with your decision in the stand, you know, and that's the problem. It's a very difficult situation to manage. I think what Swansea have done is quite strangely at the time, and it seemed a little bit bizarre, but almost instantly, rather than try to bounce back the first season, they just cut the cloth. They sold all their best players, all their assets. They almost stripped it right back down to ground zero, if you like, and they built from there. And what Swansea have always had, and probably slightly different to Stoke, is Swansea have always had a philosophy of how they want to play. And actually, they've stayed true to that. They've recruited managers and head coaches around that philosophy. And maybe that's why they're getting the rewards now, you know, because they've had that consistency of their work and they've gone through the sort of, I mean, they finished last season, you know, they finished mid-table. I think the difference with Stoke is, I mean, we were ninth just before Boxing Day, and 3 games later, I was sacked. You know, what I'm saying with that is the expectations were very, very different, or what people would put up with were very different. So you have to admire Swansea for maintaining that stance, for having that continuity of thought and that philosophy, a little bit like a Norwich have done, and seeing it through. But nevertheless, Steve Cooper has followed on from Graham Potter and actually built on it. Done a fantastic job so far.
Yeah, Michael, as well, a lot of emphasis has been put on Steve Cooper's coaching ability. We're really seeing that on the pitch now, considering how the club approached the transfer market in the summer, of course, as well.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that's what he's going to have to do, coach. But as you mentioned, Graham Potter, that philosophy was placed, you know, very heavily on him, and he started to play in a right and attractive way. They've continued to do that. They've had progression. And now confidence has kicked in. So as a new manager, he's not really have to deal with too many things. He's got that all sorted out regarding his team. And when they start winning, there's less and less problems. As the guys will tell you, it breeds that confidence. It's a great place to go in and work. And you know, can they continue? Have they got enough with that squad ability-wise to get themselves in the Premier League? I'm not so sure with what's around them, but they've certainly gone about their jobs very, very well.
Yeah, Joby, Andre Ayew, a forgotten sort of man in a way as well, scoring the winning goal for the Swans against Charlton in midweek as well. Almost 1,300 days since his last goal for the club. Have you ever known a goal drought like that?
Incredible, really. And undoubtedly, quality player that's just lost his way a little bit, you know, obviously coming back, you know, after going away to West Ham for, you know, a season and a half, and just didn't quite, you know, go right for him or anyone at the club at that time, really. And you know, I think from that point on, he's been out on loan again. And I think, again, it's a big positive to Steve Cooper and his decision, you know, pre-season to get all of the players back, whether they've been out on loan, you know, whatever their situations, and really make it a clean slate for everybody to come and prove to him, you know, that they're worth a place in the squad or the team. And, you know, just like, you know, Baston was another one that was out, you know, in the wilderness really, and comes back, and he's had a great start to the season as well. So, you know, for me, again, if they can get him going, he's a real quality player, and I think he can really do some damage at this level, as again, if he's got that confidence and starts getting into his game.
Well, no wins in the last two at home for Swansea, so maybe something for Stoke to cling on to there. But now, Gary, let's talk about another one of your former clubs, Birmingham City. They take on Middlesbrough on Friday night. Two rookie managers, starting with Pep Clatet, pressure ramping up on him as well. Three defeats on the bounce. Does he have to get a result here, do you feel?
I'm not so sure. I don't know whether he has to get a result. I think, you know, losing the last game against Wigan and having no shots on target, I think, was a significant stat in the game that I think people have latched onto. And I think particularly with Birmingham, you know, it's another situation where, you know, you've got owners who've invested a hell of a lot of money. You know, they've got an unbelievable fan base. To be fair, St Andrews will be rocking. There won't be many, many better fans in the Championship. But, you know, they're trying to change their style. And at the moment, you know, they've got some better technical players in the group, but I haven't seen a massive amount of examples of where they've changed the style effectively. You know, they're having slightly more possession, but still, I think all the games they've won this season have when they've had less of the ball in games. So I think they're just struggling for that consistency, you know. So it's a big game. You know, it's a big game because you're at home at any time at St Andrews. And I think any manager nowadays in the Championship that goes, you know, four games or four losses in a row or five losses in a row in the end, you know, but you're going to be under pressure regardless of who it is. And the fact that I think he's still, his title, still caretaker head coach, suggests that, you know, he has to get them up there, because the expectation with Birmingham this year, rightly or wrongly, is that the group would be good enough to get into that top six. And you know, so of course you have to back that up with results.
Yeah, Michael, I know we've talked previously about Jude Bellingham as well, but reports this week suggest that even Bayern Munich are interested in signing him. How much of a job has Pep got as well to keep his feet on the ground, you know, knowing what a talent he is?
Well, you just sort of say Bayern Munich. I mean, the lads will be saying, really, are you off? What have you heard? When he goes into the dressing room, like, come on, tell us more. But, you know, it's fantastic for such a young player to obviously be the youngest scorer for Birmingham, 16 years and 63 days, eclipsing Trevor Francis and Captain England under the 17s now. So everything's going in his favour. But as a young player, it's just about playing week in, week out, trying to score goals wherever you can and just get those minutes and that little bit of experience. So, you know, as a manager there, you just got to say, can you take it in your stride? I interviewed James Maddison from his progressing only a couple of weeks ago at Leicester v Spurs, and how he's enjoying that challenge of people watching him. And that's something he's got to look at and say, where can he go with Birmingham? Can he play for the rest of the season? And you know, not worry about it too much.
I spoke to the lads at Birmingham, Ben, and you know, they feel that Bellingham could be the best one they've ever produced, you know, potentially. And when you think about the players that they produced, you know, the likes of Damari Gray, Redmond, Butland, you know, they've had some very, very good players come through the system. So, you know, certainly lofty praise that they feel he could be the best one yet.
He certainly looks a huge talent at the age of 16. But, Joby, coming back on to the team and their performance, Lee Camp, we saw, made an error in midweek against Wigan that cost them the result. Should they change things up now? A lot of competition for places, actually, in the goalkeeper position for Birmingham. David Stockdale and Real Madrid loanee Moa Ramos both on the bench waiting in the wings.
I think it'd be very harsh to drop him after the mistake. You know, I'm sure Lee Camp, he's been around a long time. I played against him, you know, numerous occasions, and he's got, you know, vast amount of experience at this level, and I'm sure it won't affect him too much. You know, no one will need to be telling him, you know, that he's the one that's cost them, you know, a point the other night. You know, it's a horrible feeling coming back into that dressing room, and, you know, by all accounts, he's held his hands up straight away, and, you know, it's good to see the manager really coming out and backing him. You know, I think he'll be really conscious of that next time he goes out, and, you know, be wanting to go and get a clean sheet and help the team get a result. You know, I'm sure some of the saves he's made so far this season have helped the team to go and get some of the results they've got. So, you know, it's good to see that at the moment the manager showing faith. I'd expect him to play, but at the same time, he knows he's got that pressure behind him, and for me, that can only be a good thing. You know, when you know you've got competition for places, it makes you raise your game, and you know he can't make too many more of those mistakes. And you know, I fully expect him to redeem himself.
Yeah, Gary, let's bring the focus on to Boro now, and things not looking too good for Jonathan Woodgate yet either. How difficult is it when you're at a club and the fans' expectation is so high, like it is at Boro?
Yeah, it's very difficult. I think in some ways, probably that expectation's dropped a tiny bit, because I think, you know, Jonathan getting the job, having been at the club and being a Boro lad, you know, obviously is going to buy him a little bit more time. But, you know, the club's obviously decided to go down a different route from Tony Pulis. You know, I think Tony Pulis has proved over the years what a fantastic, you know, experienced manager he is, but with a definitive style. And they want to be a little bit more attack-minded. Ironically, so far, you know, as attack-minded as they've been, they've had less shots on goal, they've scored less goals. So I'm not quite sure how you define it, maybe just in terms of entertainment for the fans. But, you know, a draw last time out with Preston. I think the most significant result in the past few weeks is a defeat to Chef Wednesday, you know, having Gary Monk go back to Boro. There would have been a pressure, you know, from the fans to beat their former manager, you know, and you know, they got absolutely tonked on the day, and you know, virtually all the goals were set pieces, just showed a different side that you have to have in the Championship. You know, and they've conceded a lot of goals this season from those, and I'm sure Jonathan Woodgate would be a little bit disappointed. But like you say, if you're Middlesbrough and you're Middlesbrough head coach or you're Middlesbrough manager, you know, you cannot be in the top half of the division. You know, it's as simple as that. There's only so long the fans will support you, regardless of where you're from, regardless if you maybe care or feel like you care a little bit more than a manager that hasn't got that affinity with a club. But you have to get results. And at the moment, you know, the results have been very, very inconsistent, and they need to certainly pick up quickly. But I don't see him as a manager hugely under pressure at the moment. You know, I might be wrong.
As you say, being a local lad and his, you know, status at the club might have given him that extra sort of time. But Michael, as we saw on EFL Inquest last night, and as Gary just mentioned, they did show some spirit after that, you know, that shocking defeat to Sheffield Wednesday, getting a point against Preston. But no win away from home, away from the Riverside so far this season. Is this a good chance for them to change that stat?
Well, it's always a chance. It comes down to your goals. Is it Taveria, Asombalonga, Brown? Is there a room? Can they get Ashley Fletcher in? So where are the goals going to come from? There's a lot of focus on Asombalonga, but it's, you know, it is an opportunity with Birmingham losing three in a row, but they're going to have to improve or the pressure will start to mount.
Yeah, Joby, a good sign for them, if you look at the statistics, is that, you know, Britta Asombalonga has four goals in four games against Birmingham since he's joined Boro. How important will it be for him, and for them rather, that he's firing in this game? A big threat on his day, of course, one of the, you know, the top marksmen in the Championship.
Yeah, I think it's going to be pivotal, you know, his role, whether he can get on the score sheet. We spoke about it, I think it was last week, when as a player you've had a good record against maybe a one club in particular, or as a ground that you really enjoy going to. And obviously his record against Birmingham would suggest that he'd fancy adding to his tally. You know, he's you know, someone that season in, season out scores goals. Even when he's not scoring goals, he's forcing teams back, you know, real physical presence and brings a lot to the party. And, you know, for someone who had a real serious knee injury, you know, at the time, people were thinking, you know, career threatening at the time, to come back and do what he's done is you know, remarkable really. So yeah, I fancy him to nick a goal there, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, Boro actually unbeaten in each of their last 10 league games against Birmingham, but certainly looks difficult to predict a scoreline anyway on Friday night based on these two teams' start to the season. Gary, now let's look at the early kickoff on Saturday between Fulham and Charlton, a London derby, a chance for Scott Parker's team to go top as well. Is that an advantage when playing in the early kickoff, the chance to put pressure on other teams to get a result later on?
I think it's an advantage. I think it adds a little bit of pressure on the team. You know, it's certainly whenever I've managed teams that, you know, you're that early kickoff or you're the Friday game and you know, you've got an opportunity to go top if you win, or you've got an opportunity to go into the top two if you win. And often, sometimes that pressure just makes the players a little bit more nervous. But I don't see Fulham doing that. You know, I think Fulham are such a good possession-based side and they move the ball so well. I think Scott Parker, you know, you have to say he's done a very, very good job. I mean, you know, the fact that he was there last season, The fact that he's been at the club before in a coaching capacity, I think, helps him understand the players and it helps them understand him. But, you know, with a front four that they've got, I mean, when you look at, I would say it's probably as good a front four as has ever been in the Championship. You know, he likes a Kearney, he likes a Caballero, he likes a Mitrovic, Anthony Knockhart. You know, they're all players that have been promoted out of his division with different clubs. And they're all players that almost seem to be quite happy playing the trade in the Championship. You haven't got the issue of, you know, they want to be in the Premier League. Well, I'm sure they want to be in the Premier League, but it doesn't feel like they're disappointed to be in the Championship. They look focused. They had a poor spell, didn't they, about four or five games ago, but certainly their recent wins have picked them back up, and it will be a fantastic opportunity to see if they can get to the top, regardless of how early it is in the season. They'll want to be up there and they'll want to be challenging.
Yeah, Michael, as Gary mentions, Fulham back in form, unbeaten in five now. How impressed is it what they're doing, you know, not having that hangover as well after relegation?
Well, they're just starting to get into the stride, aren't they? And again, we talk about confidence. I always say that with Kearney, two goals from Kearney, two goals from Mitrovic in the week. So they're key players. You've got Bobby Reid, Knockhart, Johansson, Arter, Bright. You know, it's just got really, really great ability for a Championship side. Yes, they struggled in the Premier League, but now the confidence is back and we know the style. We know how they can move the ball around and they're going well now. They quietly have just come back right into it. We're 3 points off the top of the table. So they will be full of confidence. And I think it will be a tough afternoon for Charlton Athletic to go there to the Cottage, and especially with the confidence they've got. So Tom Kearney, really impressive. Some wonderful goals. We looked through his goals last night. I mean, the strikes he's doing, it's brilliant for everybody to see.
Yeah, Joby, as Michael mentions there, Tom Kearney, so impressive so far this season. In midweek against Reading, he scored 2 goals, 5 goals and 3 assists so far this season. Do you rate him as one of the best in the Championship?
Oh, without a doubt. You know, it's not just this season. You only have to look at his pedigree. You know, the last 2 years he was in the Championship. He got in the Team of the Year on both occasions and was obviously instrumental in Fulham going up. So, you know, for me, undoubtedly one of the best players in the league. I really enjoy watching him play. You know, he's just got that air of just a bit of magic about him. He's always seemed to, you know, have a bit of time on the ball. I think his 2 goals the other night really summed him up. You know, the first one, it was a lovely little touch, but they're the little details sometimes people miss just to set himself, and he's just whipped it, you know, across the keeper into the top bin on the first one, and then had a hand in the third goal. Lovely bit of touch to lift the ball over the keeper for his second on the night. So yeah, for me, absolutely, you know, top player, and I'm sure, you know, the aim is to go up again and then really go and test himself again, you know, at the highest level possible. Because I think for his ability, you know, he should be up there and, you know, playing his trade as high as he can.
Yeah, some cracking goals midweek. Gary, I know they lost midweek, did Charlton, to Swansea. But considering the off-season they've had, they've done terrific so far. Can off-field uncertainty sometimes galvanise a squad, similar to what you had at Birmingham, maybe?
Yeah, I think it can do. I think Scott Parker's done I've got my teams mixed up. I think Lee Bowyer's done a fantastic job. Both, obviously, Charlton legends. But yeah, I've been very impressed with the job he's done. I think that sometimes, like you say, when you have that, I think, you know, occasionally as a manager, when you're an underdog, you kind of need an enemy, you know, and sometimes, you know, the opposition can be the enemy. People writing you off can be the enemy. You know, perhaps the instability of the club can be. But, you know, I'm sure the lads have played under managers that galvanise teams in that way. You know, I'm sure Brownie with Warnock, you know, they use that kind of uncertainty behind the scenes to almost give them something to fight against, to prove against. And their team play like that. You know, when I watched them in the week, you know, certainly for the first hour against Swansea, they were so aggressive. They're in their face. They certainly had no respect for Swansea's technical ability at all. And you know, they've had a fantastic start to the season. I think it'd be very difficult. So, you know, some people got a bit carried away with it and said, oh, you know, Charlton could be up there. I don't really see that. But what I see is them upsetting teams regularly. I just think probably they may not have that quality to be able to sustain, you know, a top six position this year. But it's been a great start after a very, very difficult summer.
Yeah, Michael, I know they won against Leeds without him, but losing Lyle Taylor must be difficult for them, though, especially in matches away from home like this one. Looks likely to miss this one as well. It looks, you know, a difficult task for them to get a result without the likes of that striker, maybe.
Well, when you look, yes, Jonathan Lecco got them off to a great start, one up front. And as Gary said, you know, the expectation is high. But when you've got the recruitment difficulties that they had in the summer, to lose then Lyle Taylor since early in September with that knee ligament injury, it's always going to be difficult. And possibly in those first 60 minutes when they've gone well, where they're trying to put Swansea on the back foot, trying to create opportunities, maybe him could have been the difference for them. But I would just got to be, it's an air of caution at Charlton Athletic not to put too much pressure on this squad of players and still a relatively new manager in Lee Bowyer, because they have done incredibly well. So I hope if it does fall away slightly that the positivity stays, and it's just really impressive watching the style of football that they play and the way they want to move things around in adversity. So they've done extremely well.
Joby, Lee Bowyer, though, quite bullish in the media this week, despite saying, you know, Fulham have the best squad in the league. He said his side will cause them problems and have a good chance of winning. Does that instill you with confidence as a player when your manager's got that much confidence in you?
Oh, most certainly. It's what you want to hear from your manager. You know, I think Lee Bowyer and the type of character he was as a player, you know, I'm sure there was never a game that he went into, you know, fearing the opponents or doubting whether his team could go and get a victory or he would go and perform. And I think he's instilled that in his team, and that's why they've done so well so far this year. You know, I think, you know, they've beat Leeds already. They've had a little tough run, you know, obviously Swansea and then Fulham to come. But they're games that you want to play in, you know, teams at the top of the table, and I'm sure all the players there will be sort of chomping at the bit. It's a great place to go and play football, and you know, they'll certainly be going there looking for an upset. You know, I think their first port of call really is to go and try and stop Fulham doing what they do. That will be difficult. They obviously get into a pattern and a routine of playing, but just be difficult, hard to beat, and, you know, probably try and nick something, you know, on the break. You know, they've been really well organised so far, Charlton, and, you know, they'll be going there to cause an upset.
Charlton are actually winless, though, in the last 12 matches at Craven Cottage, so a tough ask for them this week. Gary, now let's move on to Skybet League One, and our featured match this week is two of the division's high flyers going head-to-head. Third-placed Fleetwood taking on top of the table Ipswich. Joey Barton's got Fleetwood averaging more than two goals a game. How important is it having that threat going forward if you're going to challenge for promotion?
I think it's a huge threat. I think particularly, you know, I think in any league, you, to a certain degree, you're dictated to by the quality of your strikers, because, of course, goals win games. And if you're looking for promotion, you know, most divisions, you've got to score kind of 75 plus goals. So you need them from all different positions. You know, they've had a really good start, Fleetwood, haven't they, under Joey Barton? I mean, it's a club that I have a lot of affection for because, you know, when I was at Burton, you know, they kind of almost, we almost dovetailed with them. A similar size club, you know, in the conference, then into League Two. Shouldn't have so much affection, though, because I just remember they knocked us out of the playoff final at Wembley, so that wasn't one of my better days. But they're a good club, and they tried to do things the right way. And I have to say, you know, in some ways you would think that someone like Joey Barton would go in and be really, really pragmatic, but to see them score so many goals and win, you know, six out of the first 10 games, I mean, they knocked Liverpool under-21s out of the EFL Trophy. They've had a really good start. I think the issue they're going to have this season is they've got some massive, massive clubs in that division. You know, they've got the likes of Ipswich, Sunderland, Portsmouth, Blackpool now with new owners. But, you know, those sides in the end are going to be challenging up there, and it's going to be difficult for Fleetwood to break through. But they've had a really, really impressive start so far.
Yeah, Michael, as Gary says, a very difficult division. Fleetwood have scored 10 goals from crosses this season. That shows you that the strikers and wingers are both really flying, doesn't it?
Well, it does. And you look and you sort of say, what type of team, what type of setup is Joey Barton going to be? But it's not just all about being dogged. He wants to be creative. He's getting crosses into the box, and Burns on one side. We've got Josh Morris getting on the back stick from the other side with four goals already. Paddy Madden coming on off the bench. He's got six goals. And you've got Ched Evans, who's only got one at the moment. So there's more goals to come. I think, you know, it's still a relatively new team. But they're doing very, very well. But it'll be a real tough game for them at the weekend.
Yeah, tough game, Joby, is for Fleetwood, as Michael mentions. Ipswich being so good defensively and going forward as well. Is it's easy to see, really, isn't it, why they're doing so well?
Oh, yeah. From my point of view, a really nice balance to what Ipswich are doing. You know, they've got some good experience at the back. You know, the likes of Luke Chambers and Cole Skews there, you know, up front, scoring goals for fun. And I think, you know, in Caden Jackson and James Norwell, two strikers that have really hit the ground running this year, you know, 5 goals apiece. And, you know, it's very, very important, you know, as we touched on earlier, to have that goal threat. You know, they've got good pace throughout the team. You know, Kane Vincent Young, you know, really, really positive on the wings. Him and Garbutt, you know, on either side have providing really good width. And, you know, as I say, they just sort of seem to have a real nice balance to them. A lot of expectation, you know, being a big club in that league, and sometimes that can be difficult. But, you know, they've had a fantastic start to the season and, you know, playing some really, really good football. And I fully expect them to sustain it for the season and be a real, real threat of getting back into the Championship.
Yeah, certainly living up to that expectation as well so far. The interesting stat from this one is it is actually the first time that both these sides have even met each other, so that makes it even harder for us to study their form, of course. Gary, now finally looking at our featured game in Skybet League 2. Last but not least, another clash at the top. Exeter and Crewe both level on points, but Exeter lost their first game of the season last weekend against Grimsby. How important is it to bounce back from setbacks like that quickly when you're fighting at the top?
Oh, it's vitally important. You know, it's all about, you know, in those leagues, it's all about resilience and it's all about how you handle those defeats. You know, for them to have started so well under Matt Taylor, of course, you know, finishing ninth last year, they'll be looking for some sort of progression this season, which will be the top six, I'd imagine. But you have to do that. You know, it's such a long season. You know, it's such a battle of endurance that you enjoy the wins. But when you get a defeat like they did at home to Grimsby, which will have been disappointing, then you want to see a response from the players. You want to see how the players will handle it as well, more importantly. You know, and if they can bounce back, you know that perhaps they have got that resilience and that, you know, that ability to, that mental toughness to do that. I mean, it was interesting to hear Matt Taylor's comments after the game. You know, it was quite, I always tend to look into what managers say and try to understand why they say them. And I think he's been pretty clever. You know, he said they look tired. It looked like a game too far. They looked a little bit tired. In my opinion, that's quite an interesting thing to say, because you're not really blaming the players for their performance. They're not saying they've lost a tactical battle. You're almost giving them a bit of an out, which then hopefully retains their confidence for the next game. So it'd be interesting to see how they do. I mean, Grimsby are no mugs, you know, very good side as well, set in seventh. And it'd be interesting to see how Exeter do bounce back, because that will be important.
Yeah, Mike, we spoke about Crewe last week, of course, you know, blooding a lot of young players from their academy this season. Will that be difficult for some of these younger players, though, going into a game as big as this one, playing the league leaders?
I think they've got to take it in the stride. I think they know what Crewe's youth policy has been like over the years. You have to learn very, very quickly there. But you know, it's a fantastic game for them. You know, they're right at the top of the table class. They probably didn't expect to be there. So they have got that little bit of mixture with a bit of senior players as well in Porto, who got the equaliser last week. And, you know, Tom Lowry in the middle of the park getting 4 goals already from midfield. So, yeah, it's great times there for them. I think Crewe Alexander will be very, very pleased. And how David Artell's got that. Yes, they've got that mixture of their passing game or whether it be to direct and turn teams around with Porter at the top of the pitch. So, great opportunity. I don't think it'll be difficult for the young players. I think they've got to go and relish the challenge.
Well, Joby, you'll know a lot about both these sides, playing them earlier in the season. A last-minute goal conceded against Crewe saw you lose. A last-minute goal against Exeter saw you draw. Who have you been more impressed with this season?
I thought both were good teams. If I'm going to pick one, I'd probably say Exeter just seem a little bit more rounded to me. So I think that over the course of a long, hard season, sometimes, you know, it can come down to that. You know, they've got some good players, look a real threat. You know, going forward, the likes of Lee Martin and Ryan Bowman, you know, at the top end of the pitch. Nicky Law's had a great start to the season as well. And as I say, they've both had a great, great start. I'd just be really interested to see how far Crewe can go with the youngsters. I think, especially early in the season, that enthusiasm that comes with youth is a big plus. But again, as those cold winter months come, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they fare. And I think from having played against them, Exeter are going to be a good team this year, and I expect them to certainly be up and around the top end of the table.
Yeah, well, Exeter have won 5 straight league games against Crewe, but very difficult to call this one. Should be a cracking game. Guys, thanks for your time this week and have a good weekend.
Cheers.
Cheers, guys.
The official EFL podcast. the best reaction to all the match action, available every week.